All right, good evening, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Welcome to our weekly address. I'm glad that you could make it out tonight to this part of cyberspace. To begin, why doesn't someone let me know how my audio sounds? I have a fan in the background, and I want to ensure that you aren't all tortured by the sound of the spinning blades that are keeping me from being too hot here. No one has messaged me yet, so I'm going to wait. I also want to make sure that you guys can hear me, period, because that seems to be an issue at times. Sounds good. All right, we are good to go. Thank you to the gentleman who messaged me. Anyways, it has been an eventful week, somewhat, kind of not really, but we do have a number of things to talk about, regardless of how eventful of a week it was. We will begin with our white pill of the week, as usual, and I want to give a shout-out to Concierge, who was kind enough to send me, as he normally does, a white pill of the week. So this one is, the title of this article I was sent was, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis expected to sign measure banning sanctuary cities on Friday. So DeSantis has been pretty good on the immigration front. He's been somewhat of the real deal as far as populism goes. However, unfortunately, populism seems to be in bed with Zionist interests, shall we say. Because while he's implementing policies that are from an immigration restrictionist standpoint sound and certainly warranted, he has also enacted anti-BDS legislation, which, as anyone familiar with that whole thing knows, is a pretty blatant and flagrant violation of our constitutional rights, right? Our First Amendment right in particular. So, at this point, we take what we can get, and any step toward immigration restrictionism is certainly warranted and welcome. Now, for our activism roundup, I'll go ahead and open up our Twitter account. I don't think we had too much happening this past week. We've got quite a bit in the works that we will be discussing in a few minutes here. So we had some flyering, some stickering. Great job, as usual. I would definitely encourage you all to not only read the entirety of the AIM member handbook, but in particular to read the materials protocol. Right, so that contains, the basics for what to do and what not to do when it comes to distributing our stickers and flyers. That basically concludes our roundup. We had some flyering. I know we had some meetups and so forth happening behind the scenes, which have been, obviously that is a very integral part of our organization, though it certainly isn't everything. Moving along. Let's talk about what's upcoming for American Identity Movement. Let's talk about the upcoming events. The two main events this summer are the 4th of July action and the action that's taking place in Texas in August. I will repost more information about this on Columbia so that you guys can have something to look at. But basically, we are going to be having people coming out to the D.C. area to stay at the AIM-HQ or nearby for a weekend of activism, fellowship, and so forth. So activism will not be required. I strongly encourage you all to come out regardless of whether or not you are comfortable showing your face and so forth. So that's going to be great. The best way to register at this point is to send something in to the P.O. box. I'm working on getting us a digital a replacement for Venmo that kicked us off fairly recently. I did set up a Circle Pay a while ago so that we had a backup. But it appears that Circle Pay is going to be closing up shop in a month. So that leaves us without a payment processor, but there are many of them out there, and we will carry on and find a way to make it through this. So, in the meantime, I strongly encourage you guys to mail in your registration for the July 4th Activism Weekend. People are going to be invited out as early as Wednesday. because we are going to be doing things on Thursday, which is the 4th of July. I think the biggest action and the main day will be that Saturday. But so in order to basically, in order to ensure that everyone can register on time and make it out here and so forth, because we're not going to be able to add anyone to the team that we have set up until we receive your registration money, then just please be sure to send that in. Before the end of the week, we're pretty confident that we will be able to have a payment processor. Not like a real payment processor, something like Venmo or PayPal that we can use, behind the scenes while we work on a more long-term solution, which we have been working on, but we've been, facing setbacks. It all comes back to the money at the end of the day. I'm reminded of, how I kind of got started in politics and looking into globalism and so forth was, the kind of conspiratorial libertarian-esque, talk about the money system and the Fed and banking and all of that. And we've just basically come back full circle to that. Anyone who's expressing views at odds with the agenda of our ruling class will first, the money is really how they get you. It is, right? Through loss of employment and through denial of service for, from credit card companies, payment processors, even banks sometimes. So these are, certainly very unfortunate, but nevertheless real aspects of this endeavor of ours. So the 4th of July activism weekend is going to be great. I strongly encourage you all to show up. As with all other actions and events, don't show up. Don't assume that people are going to show up. Assume that if you don't personally show up, there won't be enough people out there. So next up, we have the action that's taking place in August, mid-August in Texas. I will repost the announcement, but it's probably still available on there. And that one is going to be great. I need to touch base to see what the ticket price is going to be. So the ticket price for the July action depends on which day you're coming by. And most of that is going towards food. If the organization makes a little off any of these events that we can put in the bank, great. In the past, it's generally don't. If we do, it's, $100 or a few hundred, not much at all. So this isn't, this is largely to cover the costs of feeding a bunch of people. I would strongly encourage you guys to show up to at least one of these. Everyone in here should be able to show up to at least one of these. And again, there's not an activism requirement. It will absolutely be encouraged. There will be actions like maybe park cleanups and stuff like that, that you can participate in safely without having your face shown. And additionally, there's quite a bit that, can be done behind the scenes in terms of the logistics, the planning, picking up supplies, all sorts of stuff to help support the activists who are going to be putting themselves out there. So I will obviously be at both. I'm working intimately with the organizers for both actions, and both are coming along very well, and I'm very excited. Also, there are going to be speakers at both, definitely some bigger names that you would recognize. So, both of these actions are these really events are going to be fantastic, and I hope to see you out there. I'd like to remind you all that we do have a formal activism proposal process. Do not assume that you can you can't just go and do activism and assume that we will post it. Once you have an idea, you need to fill out an activism. And it's not just your chapter leader. It's the chapter leader in whichever state you are hoping to want to do an action in Montana. The Colorado chapter leader cannot submit that proposal. And that is because we need to ensure that every chapter leader is well. So I've had a number of you come to me for active, with the other organization, Identity Europa, many unique actions as well. Making a banner, holding it up somewhere, just kind of drop. Or, maybe you want to do that every 6 months with your chapter. Sure, it's definitely better than nothing. Necessarily get as much traction as something else, right? Is to make, you can make cool videos of these banner drops. That definitely makes them climbing up something, making it, just a minute clip can be, it's good, definitely good content to put out. But I would strongly encourage everyone in here to diversify the activism that we are doing as an organization. And one of the best ways to do that is to look at what others are doing. Follow left-wing activists, follow the GI Telegram channel to kind of keep tabs on what identitarians are doing around the world. They, you know, have kind of a head start on us, so they have a lot of experience that we don't. We are not interested in mimicking them, but we are interested in learning from them and, you know, kind of adopting things that work, right? It doesn't just have to be from GI, but they're a very good example. Also, there's a fantastic book, Beautiful Trouble. We have a literature team on Mattermost, and I believe they are going through the book Beautiful Trouble. So reach out to Peter on Columbia Mattermost if you're interested in getting getting added to the server and or joining in on the book club within that that team. A good way to think about activism is content creation. It doesn't just have to be traditional activism in the sense of, okay, we're going to drop a banner, or okay, we're going to go out and do a demonstration, right? Kate Smith Action was a fantastic example of activism, right? And that was something that wasn't very content man on the street, but it was a form of activism, absolutely. And it was very well received and very well designed and implemented. People in Trumpism, just random YouTube content creators, and seeing the kind of stuff and many, many great examples of things to do. So I would strongly encourage you guys to use that. If you come to me looking for ideas, I'll probably tell you all of this. If you have like something, you want to do activism around a certain theme, then maybe I could be useful. But if you just say, hey, what are some good ideas? Then I'm going to tell you to read Beautiful Trouble. I'm going to tell you to follow GI. I'm going to tell you to, maybe spend a night just watching all of their old videos, looking through their Telegram channel, just to find inspiration for that. So please bear all of these things in mind. Now, I'd like to remind you all that dues are every Monday. I forget what time. It's Monday morning, or it might be noon EST. Everyone who is more than, I think it's between 2 to 3 months behind on dues, is just automatically jailed. Now, getting unjailed is easy so long as you pay your dues, but you don't want to get to that point, right? You don't want to get put in jail. The accommodations aren't terribly. They're not that bad. I mean, you'll have the basics, but as far as you just don't want to be in jail. The food's not that great. Some of the people in there maybe a little rough around the edges, so to speak. You're going to have to explain to your friends and family that you got put in jail, right? You got locked up. You're technically an ex-convict at that point once you get let out. So that's the spirit of you not being an ex-convict. Let's have everyone stay up to date on the dues. So you can go to members.americanidentitymovement.com, register or sign in, and see your dues that way. Yeah, you should be receiving emails if you are behind. If you're not behind on dues, then and you are receiving these emails, then please let me know, and we can sort that out. So the best way to do that now, I would just say pay for 6 months through P.O. Box at this point, mail in the check for $55, cash for $55. That's also the best way in terms of OPSEC, right? You don't have to include a return label. You can send cash and just a slip. Obviously, please include the slip or the note that specifies what your name is on here, or what information you were under the roster as, just so we know who it is. Because if someone sends $55 and there's nothing discernibly indicating that it is from a member for dues, then we're just going to assume it's a general donation and treat it as such. So let us go through the guidelines. These guidelines constitute our expectations of you as a member of the organization. And they can be found in the resources channel on our national Mattermost team. Now, all of you will be required to have read the member handbook by the end of this month. If you haven't done it, do it. It's 15 pages, but it's not Nietzsche, it's not Heidegger. It's fairly readable, we should say. So definitely don't put it off. And I mean, you are, even though that the requirement is the end of the month, you are absolutely going to be held to that standard, all of the standards outlined therein in the meantime. So, you know, saying, oh, I didn't know, isn't an excuse. If you're listening to this, you are going to be held to these standards. So again, that is in resources on the national channel. I will open this up now. I will not read the whole guide. I'm still working on, you know, we had a few typos. There weren't really that many. Some people were a little apoplectic after reading it. But some of the formatting errors are a little weird because they weren't there when they're not there in the Google Doc. They're there, you know, they basically came about as a result of creating the PDF. So I'm not entirely sure how we're going to get around that. But in the meantime, you will have to persevere through, you know, the spaces that are present there. But anyways, so as a member of American Identity Movement, one, you'll read the AIM member handbook and adhere to all rules and requirements outlined therein. So this is the handbook. You have to read all of it and adhere to all of it. Two, you will read, understand, and follow the server rules. The server rules can be found on the national team, and they're pretty straightforward. The main ones, don't joke about violence. Don't post anything related to the Third Reich. No racial slurs. I would just go easy on the vulgar language. Keep in mind that you're in mixed company. You have people's wives and mothers in here. So guys, locker room talk, not the kind of thing that you want to do on our servers. And again, there are also many things that ladies should not be talking about around men. So I think we can all kind of, guess as to those. I will not be providing any examples, but please bear that in mind. Three, you will not engage in any gestures, use any language, or display any paraphernalia related to the Third Reich. So we're at the point now where everyone gets that we're American nationalists and identitarians. We've moved beyond the 4chan and alt-right culture where, like, people spent too much time on the internet and got memed into believing that, that any stuff like this was a good idea. So I don't think anyone in the organization now needs to be told what we're about, but it's good to have it in writing. Four, you will consume alcohol responsibly, particularly at AIM events, and will not partake in any illegal drug use. Very straightforward stuff. Don't drink like an idiot. Don't drink and drive. Don't use illegal drugs. If marijuana, either of the medical or recreational variety, is available in your area, then here's what you should do. You should just not talk about it. Maybe if it was... I just don't think it's really in line with our culture. If you have like a real need for it, or if you're someone who can, you know, still function and whatever, and it's not actually holding you back, I think it does hold most people who use it back, then just, again, don't talk about it. Five, because ours is a co-ed organization, you will interact with AIM members of the opposite sex in a respectable manner. So this is very straightforward stuff. Don't be an idiot. Don't be an idiot. We want to facilitate the formation of healthy relationships that eventually lead to marriage and kids. We should all be thinking about that. If you have no romantic prospects, if you're not going on dates, you're not, actively trying to find a future, male husband or wife, then you're doing it wrong. Because many people, I think, procrastinate this and then they wake up one day and it's too late. So in the spirit of us, getting married and having kids, not everyone's going to be able to do that for various reasons, and that's okay. But everyone should be pursuing these kinds of things rather than sleeping around. Now, what you do in your personal life, I'm not going to pry too deeply into that. I would only care insofar as it becomes an issue for the organization. If you are somewhat promiscuous in your personal life and you are blabbing about it to people within our organization that aspires for healthy values, then you're clearly not getting it. But just bear in mind that, if someone rejects you or something in the organization and, just let it go. I've seen, sour grapes kind of come about as a result of that. And that is not conducive to, maintaining harmonious communities at the local level in the organization. Six, when representing AIM, you will dress appropriately and will under no circumstances wear masks, military uniform, or other bizarre attire. Very straightforward. So we are well-adjusted, well-intentioned, Americans of European descent, We merely want a future for our people. We want a future for this country that does not involve us being hated minorities. We're not a paramilitary. We are, you know, not trying to give anyone that impression. So that's why we don't dress like that or act like that. 7, you accept that religious differences exist within the organization and you will behave respectfully toward members of other different faiths than your own. So you, as a member of AIM, you will interact with pagans, Protestants, Catholics, Mormons, people interested in, I don't know, the philosophy of Julius Evola. You know, so you just have to be tolerant of other people. Some degree of pluralism is going to have to be tolerated. And, you know, you do have freedom of religion in this country, even though it does have a Protestant history. So everyone should do well to keep that in mind. No one is going to respect you for, you know, trying to overly proselytize or evangelize or down-talk other people because of their religions. And I think this is more an issue of personality type. That's why you don't see too often, because our, I think people, high quality people, people who are agreeable tend to self-select. And then we obviously have our selective procedures to ensure that only the best get in. So 8, you'll respect the authority of your chapter leader and will work with him rather than against or around him when it comes to planning activism and community events. No need to elaborate too much on that. 9, you'll safeguard not only your own personal identity, but that of other AIM members as well. So you have a duty to yourself and to your fellow members to guard your OPSEC and others. I won't spend too much time talking about OPSEC tonight, but I would definitely urge you all to read the OPSEC guide that is contained within the AIM member handbook. 10, you will not engage in violence, particularly during activism. So if we engage in violence, we are playing into the hands of the left, the media, and the political establishment. The state is absolutely thrilled when people of our ideological inclination get violent, because that gives them the pretext to do what they want to do to us, and that's to shut us down. So there are many reasons not to be violent, strategic, and ethical. And we just need to bear that in mind. Extreme self-defense situations absolutely warrant, you know, doing what is necessary to defend yourself, right? If someone is threatened, is, you know, has you on the ground and they're repeatedly punching you in the face, do what you have to do to save your, you know, to get out of there, right? But if some, this means that if someone comes up and shoves you, you don't just punch them in the face, right? Even if someone comes up and throws a punch at you, right? Try blocking, getting your hand up, telling them to take a step back, telling them to, you know, take it easy. But, you know, we just can't be seen as the aggressors, and we can't be the aggressors for legal and PR reasons, basically. The last thing you want is to have to defend yourself within the context of a violent altercation while you were doing identitarian activism. Because especially if the other person who attacks you is non-white, transgender, gay, they will absolutely pursue some kind of hate crime. Well, there's a good chance they could. So we don't want that to happen. 11, you'll refrain from carrying weapons, particularly guns and knives, during AIM activism. So you don't need a weapon to do AIM activism. If you're one of these guys who will, doesn't want to leave the house without concealed carrying, that's okay. Just don't do activism. 12, you will only engage in legal activism. So everything we do has to be legal. Since we are constantly under scrutiny, we have to be constantly above reproach. So that's why you need to read the materials protocol and adhere to all the guidelines therein to avoid incurring vandalism charges and, or just simply putting up flyers that, doing a flyering event that we can't use on social media. 13, you will constantly strive for self-improvement. You need to be striving to be the best and most effective agent of change as possible. And if we see you let yourself go, if you kind of devolve into, I don't know, drinking, obesity, many other ways that, you know, people can destroy themselves, then we will absolutely talk to you and possibly let you go if nothing changes there. Sorry, one second. 14, you understand that membership in AIM is exclusive with that of other similar organizations. You will therefore only participate in AIM activism. So this means you can't join any other dissident right organization unless you have explicit approval. If you try to be sneaky and participate in other dissident right activism, we'll probably find out and we'll have to let you go. So if you want to be involved in any other group, just come to me. And I will be more than happy to tell you whether or not that is permissible within our organization. But obviously stuff like, you know, you want to get involved in TPUSA or College Republicans, sure, that's fine. 15, you will represent AIM in a positive manner. So advocacy of or participation in any form of supremacy, violence, illegal activity, or otherwise unethical behavior is explicitly prohibited. Just keep in mind that as while you are a member of AIM, everything you do within the context of AIM or not, even in an apolitical context, will reflect on us. It has the capacity to get back to us. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. So that concludes the guidelines. I would like you to, again, all of you have to read this document, the AIM Member Handbook, from start to finish. I reserve the right to maybe quiz some of you guys at some point if needed, because it is very... it is very important for us to be maintaining standards. A big issue with the alt-right is that there weren't really standards, and that was largely a result of there being, you know, the alt-right lacked a, it was very decentralized. It lacked a central hierarchy. And I don't think that really justifies or excuses the lack of standards that we saw in the alt-right. However, the fact that we do have a hierarchy means that we absolutely, have the ability to exercise quality control, and a few bad apples have the ability to spoil the ability for us to build a kind of movement that is going to be able to succeed in its goals. The ultimate goal for our organization is to effect change that will lead to a shift in power. We need, in order for there to be any lasting change in this country, the globalists need to be removed from power legally and nonviolently. And that is not just a political thing, right? The deep state needs to be dismantled, or there needs to be the construction of an identitarian deep state. Easier said than done. And that's the kind of thing that generally I think comes after you have power, though perhaps there are arguments to be made for the contrary. The media, financial system, right? All of these centers of power need to be, as long as globalism is promoted therefrom, then there's not, build a wall, you can change immigration laws in 50 years, it won't matter. Or in 10 years, it won't matter. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing the results of the cathedral, as it were, preventing, our democratically elected president from affecting, implementing the types of policies that he ran on. So lastly, I want to talk about the Ashley St. Clair situation. If you've been following my tweet on, my feed on Twitter, then you've probably become aware of this, but I think it's kind of an amusing tale, and it illustrates, there are many lessons to be taken there in how power is exercised and how we as, a dissident vanguard can influence the broader right for the better. So Ashley St. Clair is a conservathought, for lack of a better term, and I would not apply that term to, any girl who's promoting conservatism or right-wing things, but she totally fits the bill. So she, she has some relationship with TPUSA. I think she was the chapter of her Young Americans for Liberty. At her local university, she's like 20 years old. I don't know where she goes to school, but she did a few things to get on my radar. The first was Ashton Witte actually had a good tweet for once, and she tweeted out a picture of, an Irish classroom. 50 years ago in that same like Irish classroom like today, and obviously it's like all African now. It was not African before. And yes, the Irish are white, in case there was any doubt. But they, so she said, you know, Ashton Willie was taking issue with the Great Replacement, and that is fantastic. Plenty that could be said about Ashton Willie otherwise, but, you know, when she has a good tweet, that should be encouraged, right? People in the main, you know, the broader right should be encouraged when they do good. They should be encouraged. And if we find a way to incentivize them to seek our approval, which is, you know, certainly a dynamic that has existed in the past, then that is a good way to steer things in the right direction. Now, Ashley St. Clair quote tweeted that and said, "I feel like this is kind of low-key racist." She's like, "Why does it matter like what skin color they are?" So it's like, okay, you're not an ever-Trumper. You're supposedly Trumpian. You have some relationship with TPUSA. And you are just totally blue-pilled on demographics. So that kind of – she deleted the tweet once she started getting some heat. Well, later, Nick Fuentes had some words for her. I think he called her like a dumb bimbo. And she responded like, "Oh, like, you know, tell me how I'm a dumb bimbo," or whatever. He said, "All right, you know, come on my show. Let's debate." And she initially agreed, and then she disagreed. She like backed out of the debate, I think, because of her like alt-light handlers. And that's the thing, these people don't want to debate us. But pardon me. So what happened after that is, you know, these the Nickers, the Nick Fuentes kind of viewers, discovered that this girl, who's again 20, used to be on Twitter. Well, she has a Twitter account named Optatives, at Optatives. And there were some interesting and a bit, you know, shall we say, sordid or salacious tweets on there. But she made that account. So she has the current account. Then before that, it was Optatives. And then before that, it was at Sex Laptop. So this girl's 14, 15 years old. And she was just being a totally licentious on social media. Now, I'm not a total Puritan, but, you know, obviously this is like my issues here are more strategic than moral, but at the same time, this is like pretty unacceptable behavior anyways. But given that she's not really in our camp, I wouldn't be as much of an issue. It's more a pretext to you know, hold her feet to the fire and basically to punish her for just having awful opinions and claiming to represent the best interests of this country, while at the same time clearly not understanding anything or actually getting it and just being, you know, hostile to what really matters. So as at Sex Laptop, she was posting nudes, selling nudes, and again, she was underage. So hopefully none of those surface. she had just, and you can find a lot of these old tweets just through various methods. And she was just saying like obscene things, so obscene, I just will not repeat them or like or retweet any of that stuff. But, you know, if you look at any of the stuff that these Nickers are posting, you will absolutely, you know, you'll see what she was doing. So basically, people started dragging that stuff up. And I did a thread about her, you know, not denying the Great Replacement being an issue, which again is a huge red flag and something that people deserve to be called out for. And I also, you know, just had one of the tweets in that thread I did, I said, "Oh, and, you know, at Zoomer Clips and then this other guy have, you know, unearthed some very questionable, tweets from the past and so forth." And then I quote tweeted the Optatives account. I said, "Wow," it was one where she was using the N-word. I was like, "Wow," she was calling out Kyle Kashev for using the N-word, but here she is using it. So the next day she DMs me and we had never spoken before. We had never interacted before. She probably had no idea. Well, I don't know. Maybe she knows who I am. But she said, "That account isn't me, LOL." And then I said, "Which one?" And then she linked Optatives. And she said, "I've never spoken like that in my life." And I was like, "Oh, okay. So just to be clear." Or she said, "No, I was hacked." I was like, "Okay, so just to be clear, that account was you, but you were hacked for that tweet." And obviously I was hoping to get her to say yes and then drag up like some older tweets and just say, okay, what about these? But she never responded past that. I have no idea why she messaged me, honestly. She was probably really scared and just like, oh, crap. Good. These, you know, again, we're not just trying to torment innocent people. We are trying to enforce standards and create a social cost for those of us who, not those of us, for those in the right who are clearly grifters and opportunists and seek to profit from peddling bad narratives while our country burns. So, well, it didn't, you know, people were talking about that, but it didn't, you know, conservatives are, they're willing to overlook some teenage girl being a bit vulgar, sexually vulgar when she, you know, 5-6 years ago. But what ended up happening was she, someone else, this guy, I think like David Santa Carla, something on Twitter, that guy deserves a follow, but he went back and, you know, God bless him, listened to a bunch of these, you know, watched a bunch of her old streams, and he found one where she's just basically saying like, yeah, I don't get why people care like about immigration, like legal immigration, it's like not that big of a deal or whatever. She's saying there are only like 12 like legal immigrants, just like wrong from every perspective. So he tweets that out. This guy's got like, you know, 2,500 followers. Mark Dice quote tweets that, says, you know, this girl should just stick to makeup tutorials. And Ann Coulter quote tweets it and says, odd. So we managed to get people from the dissident right, the seemingly small part of Twitter, to get these huge accounts to amplify the message and say, hey, you know, we're basically just pointing out like, hey, even by like alt-light standards, this girl is just totally garbage. And so that has been really good. And then today, this guy, David Santa Carla, I believe, found footage of her talking about how TPUSA is actually like lame. She was like, oh, she referred to it as like, oh, it's just a bunch of white dudes in MAGA hats, like, you know, just something like that. So she's Jewish, for the record. So I don't know if she has some kind of ethnic animus simmering beneath the surface. My wager would be that that is the case. She was also tweeting about an affinity for dark-skinned men under her sex laptop account. So who knows what's going on there. Sorry, Ben Shapiro. That's it's not a loss for us, but yeah. So what's, you know, should we care about the e-drama? Should we? No, to some extent, no. But the reason I'm talking about this is because we effectively made there be a price for having the wrong opinion. We held this girl's feet to the fire, and I've heard from behind the scenes that her circle of kind of alt-light handlers are extremely panicked, and it might actually get back on them, and they might get, you know, screwed over. You know, all these people that promoted her, and she's like, she's not even saying that illegal immigration's an issue, right? Like, it's, you know, because a lot of people in the alt-light are like staunch on illegal immigration. Legal immigration, maybe not as much, but like, you know, you have this girl out there that they've promoted just saying like, it's the dumbest, most indefensible stuff from a Trumpian perspective. And it's great. So we should do this more often. We should, you know, find examples. You know, you got to hold these people to their standards. That's actually an Alinskyite strategy. I forget which one it is. One of the rules for radicals, but it basically is, yeah, hold them, you know, just kind of, hang them by their own standards, something along those lines. And that's what we did. So what I hope in the future, this sends a message to the alt-light and to others, like, okay, if you're just going to be grifting and being an opportunist, stay out these issues that you clearly do not understand. I want these people to be terrified of, we're going to find a way to make them look bad. We're going to have, you know, basically the neets on the internet to find old social media accounts. It's what's known as open source research. Find, you know, things wild, but no one really called too much of attention to it. Well, it turns out, you know, conservatism Inc. And it's still continuing. So I think your career is probably over. The struggle for saving America, for saving our people, basically speak out against the things that we know to be problems, And she thought wrong. She's paying the price. That girl is probably devastated. And that's too bad. But we're not doing the survival of our people, of our race, of our civilization. And, you know, it doesn't mean that everyone who's not, like, naming the Jew or talking about race needs to be subjected to that. We're not. But we do have to enforce standards. And that's what we did. And I think that this is definitely a replicable strategy. So I hope that in the future, these types, when they talk about immigration, they, you know, a sliver of fear shoots up their spine. Right is going to, you know, expose them for being the frauds that they are. And if we're tweeting about this, just goes to show that, you know, we're not the only ones that are staunch on this issue. So those are the lessons learned there. Again, you know, we're not just trying to just destroy. I think the alt-left in terms of the spot in the Overton window, like, is going to exist as long as civic nationalism is the furthest you can go without having, you know, your life ruined, basically. Or, you know, facing, you know, you're not going to have your life ruined as an identitarian. The people that have gotten doxxed recently have either not lost their jobs or have, you know, found new jobs, if that's been the case. But at the same time, it's you know, civic nationalism is about as far as you can go without, you know, losing all mainstream respectability, so to speak. So anyways, guys, that concludes everything I have for you. I would like to strongly remind you that showing up is the most important thing you can do for the movement. If you're not going to be doing activism, become a patron. Reach out to Carl. We've got some great stuff happening. You know, we have patrons-only merch. We have once a month patrons-only voice call with me. Talking about things we have going on behind the scenes, filling you guys a little bit in a bit more. And we're going to be doing monthly Q&A sessions with, you know, big names in the movement. We've got Nick Fuentes coming up, not this weekend, I believe, the next one on Sunday. So if you support the organization at the same time, then joining the patrons program is the best way to do that. Thank you to all our patrons to stay afloat amidst, you know, the post-Charlottesville maelstrom that has... I will turn over to you questions and answer suggestions, all of that stuff already. You know, poised there with their finger on the enter button, waiting for me to give the question. So here we are. Given the fact that we are an activist organization with the goal of attracting people from greater society, benefit everyone in name to regularly read their local and city newspaper, I found that one local right-wing columnist and a local citizen who runs a right-wing Twitter account. Be informed on issues that affect your local community and to share our activism with people who may agree with our views and will benefit from recruiting in your area. Absolutely, yeah. There are definitely people who are sympathetic out there. I met a Tea Party guy, Amren, who is going to try to get me out to speak to his Tea Party group. They started doing banner drops because they were inspired by us. So, you know, the more that many of the kind of the ghetto that we are in large part exists within our minds. It exists in the main, for the, as far as the mainstream media is concerned and so forth, but there are a lot of people that are willing to hear us out and that say, okay, these guys are hardliners on immigration. Good. So, thoughts on Biden-Trump poll numbers. Is there an opportunity for pick us some disappointed MAGA-peds? I haven't seen the latest Biden-Trump poll numbers. I think unless Biden has some severe gaffe or gaffes, he will get the nomination. Ferdy's polling pretty well with blacks. And I think that Trump could narrowly beat him. But if Biden, you know, adopts some of like Elizabeth Warren's economic populist economic policies, that could be pretty bad for Trump because, you know, winning over the white working class is a big way, you know, in these Rust Belt states, or, you know, just states like Pennsylvania, what was it, Michigan, Wisconsin. Absolutely, you know, integral to Trump's victory. So I haven't seen the latest polling numbers, but Trump should, I mean, what does he really have to show the working class? Gutted Obamacare that led to, you know, skyrocket, you know, premiums went up. You know, these people, you know, my old landlord in West Virginia was telling me that, you know, after, you know, and everyone in the area supported Trump, but after that, you know, people are paying like, you know, $500,000 more per month in healthcare. That's like, all right, well, yay, we killed Obamacare. But like, you know, if the people who didn't like Obamacare, like, yeah, they it's not like they want to pay more money. It's you know, yeah, it's a long topic to get into. But yeah, I mean, there is absolutely is a chance for us to pick up some disappointed MAGA-peds. I mean, there is we have to be ready to siphon discontent with the establishment into our organization. and not just the establishment, but with Trumpism in general. Obesity, should we address obesity statistics, removing non-traditional European diets from Americans? Nutritional studies show diets deal with ethnicity. That's an interesting subject. I think, yeah, we should definitely, I mean, it's part of the self-improvement. And, you know, I think those are the last two guidelines, the one about self-improvement and the one about reflecting on aim. Hey, you guys should be taking care of yourselves. So you should be eating healthy. Whether or not you have to eat a strictly European diet is one thing. Yeah, I strongly encourage you guys to care about food you put in your body. Mr. Casey, can you be a Knicker and an AIM? Yes, absolutely. Many, many such cases. Mr. Casey, can you explain a little more about the Texas event, date and times, how we'd be getting there, where it would take place? Yeah, so I'm going to post it. I think the announcement might still be available on Mattermost, but actually I don't know if we've done the big announcement quite yet, the one with that has, you know, the registration event and stuff too. But that will be coming, and we'll stick to keeping that stuff on Columbia. What's your take on Boris Johnson for PM? Is there a possible redemption arc for the Tories and God's least favorite island? I'm not terribly familiar with him, but I watched that clip that the British leftist did whining about Boris Johnson, and sounds somewhat based. But, you know, you do have these people that have just said, like, totally politically incorrect things in the past who are still, you know, just establishment shills. They just don't care, you know, they just don't care for political correctness, or these are things they said in the past when you could actually get away with that. So I don't know, someone being kind of bigoted, so to speak, does not necessarily make him on our side. I don't know too much about him beyond that, so we'll see. I mean, honestly, unless a politician is explicitly populist, I'm not too optimistic about them, you know, accomplishing much. All right, anything else, guys? If you have the questions, please be sure to write them out now. Mind if I post an announcement for a book club? Yes, you can post that announcement. Guys, keep in mind that only approved announcements can be posted, so you have to basically get them approved from me. If I see anyone, this applies to honestly most chapter leaders, posting anything in announcements that hasn't been approved, whether it's, you know, you're just like responding to an announcement, or you decide to post your own announcement, like, I'm just going to delete it right away. And I reserve the right to do that. And if you get upset, too bad. But this individual has asked me, so he has been granted permission. Go right ahead. Me and another member went to a high-level Republican dinner with, I won't go too far into that. Well, it's good to hear. Well, it looks like that is the end of the questions. I'll give it another minute here to see if anything else comes up. All right, not seeing any more questions. So on that note, we will conclude. Guys, we've been through a lot as an organization. Things are doing well. You know, patrons program is growing. Membership is good. You know, we've got a lot of opportunities behind the scenes. Things are turning out well. So you just have to get out of into the mindset of once you've resigned yourself to the fact that there are going to be setbacks, and that there are going to be many obstacles and bumps along the way, then it makes it a lot easier to handle these things. And the only way that we're going to fail is if we give up. So just please keep that in mind. But anyways, guys, thank you. Have a good night, and we will reconvene next week as usual.